Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs, refreshing, relevant, real.
Our son Daniel, so he's the youngest. He's going to be going back to junior year at Evangel. He has a big year. He's going to be the student body president for Evangel, so he got elected into that, so he has some responsibility there. He is in the elementary education program, but he's also looking, you know, we've had some discussions about ministry and what God has for his heart and stuff, so he wanted an opportunity to speak, so this is his kind of his last Sunday that he'll be with us, I think. He might be around next Sunday, but we're going to let him share, so good to have you here, Daniel.
Hi. This is just really weird for me. For the last 13 years, I've been out there watching him speak. And I've been around you guys, and you guys have been an influence on my life for the past 13 years, except for the people who haven't been there for 13 years. Take the number of years you were here and then put it in there. But it's really cool for me to be able to be here and pour into some of the people that have poured into me over the past 13 years, such as Gary and Mary. You know, some of these people have been here a long time. My parents, they've poured into me for 20 years. And so it's just really cool to be up here and be able to do that. And so the verse and what we're going to be studying today is provision. That's a cool graphic, isn't it? Right? We're going to be talking about provision in Psalms 23. So what I want to do is we'll read the verse, and then we'll go through the verse, kind of look at it in a way, verse by verse, and what God provides to us, and talk about it that way. But first, let's go through Psalms 23. It's written by David. I'll talk about this in a sec. So Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If you would pray with me. Jesus, we thank you for bringing us all here today. We thank you for the blessings that you have continually given us in our lives. I thank you for the opportunity to be up here to speak to this congregation. I pray that you use me as your mouthpiece and speak your word to these people. And I pray that you give us a good rest of the day and keep the weather the way it is. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so as it says on the screen, we're talking about provision today. And there's a specific part of provision I want to talk about. And I want to talk about provision in the hard times or the valleys of life. Because it's relatively, as long as you have a solid relationship with God, it's pretty easy to see God's hand in your life when everything's going well. And you're getting financial situations are going well, everything's going well at your job. It's relatively easy to see God's hand in that, but it's a lot harder when you feel like everything in your life is going wrong. It's very hard to see God's hand in your life and how to recognize that. And so that's kind of what I want to talk about. And the reason I want to talk about that side of things is because that was kind of where I was at coming into the summer. I go to Evangel University, as we know, and Evangel University is an Assemblies of God university, and what that meant was I was surrounded by 2,000-plus kids who were all my age, and all of them were, pursuing God with their hearts, and, we'd have three chapel services a week, and I was kind of at, the Evangel is the most, spiritual place I've been in, and, it's the closest I've been to God. And I've had these friends, and growing up here, I didn't have a whole lot of friends who were Christians. As I got older and I was able to expand, like be able to go more places and went to camps, then I got more friends. But growing up, some of you guys may recall, I was the only person my age that went to this church from about third grade to I think sixth or seventh grade. I was the only person. And there was no one really near me. And then, or if they were near me, they moved away and went to other places. And so growing up, that was really hard. And so when I went to Evangel, and was surrounded by this such spirituality and like such a spirit, like a God-filled place, it was amazing for me. And so coming back here was really hard because I was coming back to a place where I didn't have that community there, didn't have that environment. I didn't think I did. And I didn't have the same friends here that I had there. A lot of those, my friends there really challenged me spiritually. And that was something that in previous years I haven't had here. And so, and also the last thing was I didn't have purpose. I mean, I just got elected as student body president there, which is really cool. And that gives me, you know, it's like a really amazing sense of purpose that I have there is I get to go and I get to work with our student government and stuff like that and work with administration to make sure that our school's doing what's best for our students. And coming back, I'm coming back to a job as a janitor, or a summer maintenance worker at our middle school. And some of you guys are chuckling. I was chuckling too. And the reason is, you know, like cleaning, like, yes, the job has a purpose. You know, you want to make sure we clean the schools so that the kids have a good place to be, and it's clean and they can learn, and that contributes to a healthy learning environment. But at the same time, being the purpose involved in being student body president and the purpose involved in being a janitor are two very different things. And so coming back, early May was very hard for me because I felt like I wasn't having much of a purpose here. And, you know, I didn't have the same friends here and I didn't know what friends were going to be here. And so it was really hard coming back to Crete. And so the history, I kind of want to talk about the history behind Psalm 23. And then the provision part of it is that, so like the person who wrote Psalm 23 was David. He's also called the psalmist. And he didn't write all the psalms, but he wrote a lot of the psalms. And we talk about David, King David, we talk about him a lot in church. He was the king of Israel. He was appointed by someone that my dad knows to be king of Israel. And so he was the king of Israel. He was a really good leader for Israel. He was called a man after God's own heart. Made a couple mistakes along the way. And then he also had a son named Absalom. And Absalom was not exactly a very good guy. That's actually what we're going to look at first in 2 Samuel is Absalom and what he plans. So Absalom, David is the king, and Absalom grows up, and then Absalom gets like, kind of thinks like, hey, you know, I think I should be king now. And so this all happens, and so I'll read a little bit out of 2 Samuel for you guys. And it says, then Absalom sent secret messages through the kingdom of the tribes of Israel to say, as soon as you hear the sound of the trumpets, then say Absalom is king in Hebron. 200 men from Jerusalem had accompanied Absalom, and they had been invited as guests and went quite innocently, knowing nothing about the matter. While Absalom was offering sacrifices, he also sent for Ahithophel, that's a fun name, of Gilonite, David's counselor, to come from Gilo, his hometown. And so the conspiracy gained strength, and Absalom's following kept on increasing. Then a messenger came and told David, the hearts of the men of Israel are with Absalom. Then David said to all of his officials who were with him in Jerusalem, come, we must flee, or none of us will escape from Absalom. We must leave immediately, or he will move quickly to overtake us and bring ruin upon us and put the city to the sword. And essentially what's happening here is Absalom is taking the power forcefully away from David, and then going after David and trying to kill David, which, I mean, I'm not a dad yet, But I feel like that would be a kind of, that would be a really bad situation to be in, is if your son takes away so much of your life and then is like, hey, by the way, I want to kill you. I feel like that could be a bit of a downer. And so this is what we're seeing in David's life and in this time. So then David goes on the run. He ends up having to run from Absalom. He's on the run with a couple of soldiers with him. And in that time, he writes this psalm, which is interesting because the first verse of the psalm is, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want," when he's being chased by his son who's trying to kill him. And so that's what I want to set up, is that this David has much more extreme circumstances than most of us do when we consider hard times. You know, most of us aren't on the run from our son who's trying to kill us. And so it kind of shows how David, when he writes this psalm, it's a good example for us to follow in our lives, and you know, when we go through hard times. And so in Psalms 23, we see that there are three major things that David points out to us that God provides to us in these times of trouble, in these valleys. And so the first one is that in the midst of chaos, God provides peace. And so I was going to have this white noise brought up, and I completely forgot to do it. But if any of you guys know what a white noise is, it's you can either get on your sound. There used to be white noise machines before technology, which is weird. But a white noise is something. It's a sound, a constant sound that like helps you either focus or fall asleep. I use one to fall asleep. My dad uses one to fall asleep. And what we use it for is kind of to relax, and like it's not so silent when I sleep, but also like it gives me a relaxing noise that I can fall asleep to. And the reason I bring that out is in verse 2 and in Psalms 23, he says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters." Quiet waters are very, very peaceful. That's actually a sound that I have on my little app, and it's like running water through a stream. Oh, hey, you did get it. Whoa, that's cool, right? Like, this sound, like, I'm up here and I'm really nervous. This sound makes me want to fall asleep, and I'm pretty sure that my dad's over there, like, silently grating me right now. Like, I'm dealing with that, and I still feel like I could fall asleep. And so, this is something that I really like, and this is what David said that God provides for us when we're in these moments in life. And it's crazy because he's on the run. Like, David's writing this, he's on the run. He's having to almost always keep moving, and he's always worrying about Absalom finding him and you know, like, and killing him. And that's kind of, I mean, if you take that into our lives, you know, life moves very, very fast. And when things go wrong for us, many times we have a hard time finding God's peace and finding God's presence in the craziness of life. And so what we do is we kind of go through this process of first, you know, everything's going really fast, and then something stressful happens. And the first thing we do is, instead of focusing on a solution through God, we focus on the problem. And you're like, oh, like, I'm not getting enough money. And we keep thinking about, oh, I'm not going to have enough money to pay rent. Oh, my kid sassed me today, and like, he's being all rebellious, and like, I don't know how to handle this, right? I'm looking at Dylan there. All these things are happening, and we start to focus on the problem. And then we're like, okay, I need to stop focusing on the problem, right? God says not to focus on the problem. So then we focus on the solution. But instead of focusing on a solution through God, we start focusing on a solution through us. Like, what can I do to fix this situation? Because I can do it. Like, I can do it on my own. So I'm going to try and fix it. And then normally what ends up happening is it makes the situation worse. And then it goes through another cycle again where another issue comes up. You get stressed about it. You think about it too much. You try and find a solution, right? And then it just keeps going in the circle. And so when we first approach God through the Bible and through his word and through prayer and getting into his presence, he provides peace. Which gives us the opportunity to listen to him. And so this peace is provided to us when we come to Jesus, when we come into his presence. We stop focusing on our problem and all this stuff that's causing us not to have peace in our life. And instead, we let ourselves into the presence of God, and we ask him and ask for his peace so that he can speak into our lives and guide us where we need to go. And so then our second point comes from verse 4 in Psalms 23, and it says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." And that leads to our second point, is when we feel exposed, God protects us and comforts us. And so when we pursue God and his plans for our life, he will give us protection and comfort. But I want to make sure I explain what I mean by protection and what I mean by comfort. And so when I say protection, I don't mean that if we throw ourselves into a middle of a fight that God will magically protect us and help us beat up the other guy, right? What I mean is that what I mean by protection is that when we dive into the Bible, commit to prayer, and continue to deepen our relationship with our Savior, God protects us from the devil's schemes, because devil's schemes are out there, and especially at times in our life when we're in a tough place, that is when the devil's schemes are the most powerful. And, you know, and like the devil likes putting these little lies in our head when we're in those places. And he likes saying, like, "No, you're not good enough," or "You'll never be good enough," or "God doesn't care," or "You won't be able to do this." And it's not, what I've come to see is that it's not that you won't have those thoughts anymore, because those thoughts do come up in life. Even when you're a strong follower of God, those thoughts come into your mind. But what God does is he provides us protection from the severity of that. And it's that he protects you from the severity, and he replaces those lies that the devil is saying, that you're not good enough, you know, you can't do this. He replaces those lies with truths, and instead says, you know, you are good enough, and because of the sacrifice that my son made on the cross, you will always be good enough, and no matter what happens to you, I will always care and love and protect you. And it's cool, because when we have protection, when we feel protected, then we feel calmer, right? And when we feel calmer, then it's a lot easier to find peace, right? And so if you're going to start connecting these, they're going to start connecting each other. And I think that's really cool, because I didn't plan that originally. And so when we have protection, we start to feel peace, right? And then when I say comfort, you know, God will give us his protection and his comfort. So when I say comfort, I do not mean that God will make it so that we will never feel out of our comfort zone. Because if there's anything I've learned in 20 years, it's that sharing your faith can be really uncomfortable. Also, following God's plan for your life can be even more uncomfortable. And growing in your relationship with God is uncomfortable. You know, sharing your faith, you know, I got made fun of every once in a while in middle school. Middle school is the worst. I got made fun of a lot for trying to share the Bible with kids or trying to invite them to church. And that was always really hard, made me uncomfortable and kind of discouraged me going into high school. And then following God's plan for your life, that can be uncomfortable, because that may lead you to places that you haven't been before. And that's something that came up actually in my summer, was leading me to a place and to situations that I hadn't been in before. But they grew me personally, but at the time I was incredibly uncomfortable and had no clue what to do, and I felt lonely. It definitely wasn't comfortable. And growing in your relationship with God is very uncomfortable, because a lot of time that exposes things in our lives, in our hearts, and in the world around us, and puts that out into plain sight, where you can see, like, oh, like, these are my sins, you know, this is what I'm doing wrong. And that's hard to handle sometimes, when you like finally realize, oh, hey, like, that I was doing that and that's not okay. And that's hard, that's uncomfortable. But what I've also found is that God can help us, this is gonna be a kind of confusing statement, but God can help us find comfort in being uncomfortable. And the way he can do that is God will provide us reassurance for his plan and his protection. And when we trust in the protection we're given, that makes us feel protected. And when we feel protected, we're able to feel calmer and have a sense of peace. And I like to think of this as a guy, if you feel comfortable, right? If you know that that protection's there, you can go and sit on your lazy boy. Right, you can go and sit in the reclining chair in front of the TV, and when you feel protected, you can sit there and you can feel comfortable, and you feel protected because, say, there's like the bodyguard or whatever outside the door, and because of all of that, you can feel peaceful. And so then this last last part that I'm moving into is sustainability. And when we worry about our future, God gives us sustainability. That's a hard word. Sustainability. There we go. And this comes from verse 5 and verse 6, where it says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." And something that I kind of struggled with this verse in verse 5 is I didn't really know what that meant. Like, okay, cool, like you prepare a table in front of my enemies. What does that mean? And so I had to do a little bit of research, which was kind of fun. And what it means is it's that God cares for you in all situations. And so God's going to set a, if we use the wording in the verse, God's going to set a table for you when you're around your friends. And he's also going to prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. And so every day, we are surrounded by a very ungodly society. And that's something that has become increasingly worse, at least since I've been in the world. And I'm sure some of the people who are slightly or not as slightly older than me can attest to. But what we've also found is that God gives us what we need to sustain us in times of difficulty. He gives us peace and protection and comfort, but it's not just a one-time gift. It's not something where it's just, oh, hey, giving it to you now, and then like you have to wait another 5 months when you get back in a hole again to where I'm going to give it to you. It's something where he sustains it through our lifetime as long as we sustain our faith in him. And so this leads to another verse somewhere else in the Bible. This comes from Matthew 6, and it's 25 through 30 and a little bit of 34. And the title of it is Do Not Worry. And it says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear, or what you would wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or sow away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, and yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which are here today and tomorrow are thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? And therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." And that's something where he's saying, you know, I do all, like God created the earth and he, you know, like there's wildflowers out there right now in front of the church. And there's these, they're like this beautiful like purple color, and like there's also some like yellow mixed in there. And it's something I noticed driving into church this morning because I hadn't seen them before. And like those are beautiful, those are really cool, and they're just wildflowers. And this verse is saying, you know, like that's what he does for the wildflowers, and we mean so much more to him, like immensely more to him than the flowers, you know. And that's a big thing. And so I kind of want to. Then the next part is you anoint my head with oil. And also kind of like, okay, like that's cool. Are you dumping oil on my head? My head's already kind of oily. So like, what is this doing? And in reference in Bible times, kind of, so back 2000, 3000 years ago, this was what they would do for honored guests. So when a king from another, area, country, kingdom, would come in, to the palace, they would anoint his head in oil, and that was a show of respect, a show of honor, a show of blessing and of favor. And what this verse is saying is that God does the same for us, that as we enter into him, that he gives us that blessing and that favor. And then the last part is verse 6, where he says, "Surely goodness and love shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." We see in verse 5 that God is giving us, verse 5 and before that, verses 1 through 5, that God gives us all these things. He gives us the peace, the protection, the comfort, and all that stuff. And verse 6 is kind of like a clarification, and it clears up like really any confusion about verse 5. And it starts that by saying surely. At the first word of the verse is surely. It's not probably or most likely you'll have all these things or it'll be there unless. It's not any of those. It's surely. It's a promise that as we grow in our faith, as we trust in God, we put our faith in God, and we pursue God, that these will be available to us. And surely goodness and love, and so then we move on to goodness and love. And does that mean that life is going to be peachy? And surely goodness and love will follow me. Does that mean that life is going to be amazing? That's always going to be perfect? That now that we're following God, like everything is going to work in our favor? And no, it doesn't. It doesn't mean that. But what it means is that, you know, God's love is unparalleled in anything that this world can offer. There is nothing else that could ever match the feeling of God's love. And so that this is what it's saying is it's providing goodness, God's goodness and God's love into our lives. That may not be like reflected in earthly things, but it may be, but it will be reflected in our spirit and the people around us. And the last part is that surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And the word I want to focus on is forever. This does not mean, it's not saying for a bit or until this happens, right? Because our lifeline is like this on a timeline, right? It's about that. And forever, if we were going to put a limit on forever, would be from wall to wall. And like this is like our lifetime, like right here. And God's not saying just for your lifetime or like just until you get to a certain spot in life. Or you know what, you did like these kind of good works. So like that extends into like half of eternity. Right, what it's saying is that it covers all of it, that he will provide this to us forever. And the other thing is there's no contract. So saying, you know, hey, you know, I did 5 good works today. That adds on 5 years into eternity that I get to experience God's love and his grace. It's not, there's nothing that we can do except for put our faith and our trust in God and pursue him. And so with all this to be said, I know I'm kind of like, the part of this sermon, if you guys aren't aware of the term prosperity gospel, it's the idea that God, if you follow God, that he will give you all these, essentially all these earthly things. You know, he'll give you the money, he'll give you the wealth, he'll give you the cars and like the cool job or whatever. And I want to make sure I avoid that. And so does this mean, with all this stuff I said, that God's going to provide this comfort and this protection and this peace, does this mean that God will always provide these things for us whenever we want it? Or does this mean that God will always provide these things for us whenever we think we need it? And the answer is no. Many times we think we know what's best for us, or we think that we know what we need. Like David, there was a good, I'm pretty sure there was like a 90% chance that David's on the run right now, right? And he says, he's praying to God at night right before he goes to bed. And he's probably praying, God, can you please just help my son like stop chasing me or like stop trying to kill me? And David doesn't, and God doesn't do that to David at first. First he offers David his presence so that David can find peace and protection and comfort. And we see God's protection over David in this time. And we see that throughout 2 Samuel. And God didn't do like what we think is the obvious choice to help out David. He worked in a different way. He worked in David's heart. And then eventually those things were given to him. And that's the same thing for me. Coming back here, for me, it was, I should stay in Springfield, because to grow in my faith, you know, that's where my friends were, and my friends were the people who were challenging me spiritually, and they were challenging me mentally and, like, intellectually, and so I thought that I needed to stay in Springfield so that I could keep growing in those ways. These were the people that I felt comfortable around. They're the ones who gave me comfort, and they were the ones who made life a lot more enjoyable. But when I had to come home, I had to come back so I could get money so I could go back to college. And I thought I needed my friends from Evangel. And so I was really, really sad. I felt really lonely. And I thought, you know, God, like, this is what I need. Please provide this for me so I can have your peace and your comfort. And instead, what he did is God provided a community that would help me strengthen my faith individually. And that was this community. I haven't really, like, growing up, I never really appreciated the type of community that we have here at Radiant Springs. And I didn't realize how much I missed that community until I went to college and realized that community wasn't there. It was a good community. It was just different. And that it, in what I realized is this community is so unique, both the Crete, but also just in Radiant Springs. And it was something that I really missed. And coming home, that was something I forgot about. And when I was able to go to church for the first Sunday I was back, it was something that I realized, like, wow, I missed this. This is something that I feel a lot more, I feel more comfortable in, but also that I feel like God is speaking to me. I let myself enter into his presence instead of thinking, wow, I wish I was back in Springfield. I let myself go into God's presence, and he gave me that peace of, like, hey, you know, all these things aren't here for you right now, but you're going to be okay. And so looking back on the summer, I go back to college in a week and a half. I realized that what he provided to me, this community, some of my friends that are in the back, that I didn't expect to pop up in my life. Looking back on it, I realized that he provided everything I needed. And he provided more than what I needed to grow in my relationship with Christ, to grow in my relationship with some of my friends and to gain new relationships. And we will what I realized is we'll be rarely successful in knowing what we truly need in life. But if we can learn to recognize God's provision in our lives, then we'll be able to obtain a deeper relationship with him. And the last part is, there's one other thing that God provided to us. It's not really mentioned in this verse, but it's I would say it's a pretty big thing, and it's that God provided his son for us. You know, we have John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever so believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And God gave us a second chance so that we could have all these things. And for me, it's been like thousands of second chances, and I'm only 20 years old. And so he continuously forgives us when we continuously mess up. And without this second chance, everything that I've talked about today, all the peace and the comfort, all that really isn't, that's not, we wouldn't be able to have that. You know, without Jesus dying on the cross, everything today that we talked about would not be possible. And so understand that as we accept Jesus's sacrifice for us and ask God to forgive us of our sins every day, that we will grow closer to God. And as we grow closer to God, he will provide these things in our life. And more importantly, he'll help us to have the vision to see these things, these blessings and his protection in our life that have already been there, that he's already been providing. So thank you. I think, yeah.
Amen. Could you stand this morning? David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want." You ever find yourself wanting a lot of things sometimes? Yeah. But David said, you know what, even in this difficult time, David was a good shepherd, wasn't he? He grew up being a shepherd. When he was called to be king, he was out in the field. His brothers were in the household, but they had to go find him because he was out in the field being a shepherd. He knew what it meant to be a good shepherd. Sheep aren't the easiest to take care of. They're kind of vulnerable. They're not the smartest creatures out there. We're compared to sheep, if you haven't picked that up. But David knew what it meant to be a good shepherd. He protected them. When the wolves and the bears, they came after the sheep, he protected them. When they needed water, he made sure they got to the good water, the streams that were fresh, that had good water in them. When they need fresh pasture, he made sure that they were there. And so, like a sheep that was wisely provided for by a good shepherd, David says, you know what? Wow, God's just like that for me, isn't he? That if I'm going through a difficult moment or I'm going through a good time in my life, God is providing the things that are necessary in my life for my spiritual growth. He's going to put a roof over my head and those things. He knows about my needs financially, physically, spiritually, mentally. He's going to provide for those things as we call out to Him and allow Him to shepherd our life. The key is that God isn't going to make you be part of His flock. You have to make Him the shepherd of your heart. If you make Him the shepherd of your heart, He will be faithful to guide and direct you and provide for your life. Amen? I just want to lead us in a prayer. I just don't want to assume that everybody here has that relationship with Christ. Maybe you know of God. Maybe you've been in church. But He's not the shepherd of your heart this morning and the Lord of your life. All I can guarantee you is that I won't guarantee you that life will be perfect, that life will just all fall into place. What I will guarantee you is that if Jesus is the shepherd of your heart, the Lord of your heart, He will provide for you. His presence will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. And like David, you'll say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And so I want to just lead us in a prayer of salvation this morning. And I'm just going to invite you to pray with me. And especially if you haven't verbalized that in your own heart and your life, you've never prayed that prayer of asking Christ in your life to know that your sins are forgiven, that you have the hope of heaven, and that you've made that commitment to have Him to be the Lord of your life. So would you pray with me this morning, saying, Dear God, come into my heart and into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Forgive me from wandering away from your care. Be my Lord and my Savior, and be the shepherd of my heart. In your name we ask and pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to close with that chorus, and we'll take up an offering in a little bit, but I'm going to have those that are going to help out with prayer. If you'd come forward, Daniel, you can help us out as well. And Christy and Victor and Yolanda. But maybe one of these points kind of connected with you this morning, just that God's presence. In those difficult moments, you kind of wonder, where, God, are you there? Right? The footprints in the sand. You all know that one, right? There's only one set of footprints, and the person says, you know, God, where were you in that moment? Jesus says, that's where I picked up and carried you, right? God's presence is there. Maybe you just need to know that God will sustain you through the difficult moments, that He'll be faithful in that. So if God spoke to your heart this morning and you want prayer, you want us to agree in prayer, maybe you have a needed request you want us to agree with, as we sing this, allow the Holy Spirit to take the message, the words that are spoken, apply them to your heart. And if you want us to agree with you in prayer about something, would you just make your way forward and we will pray with you.